2 Corinthians chapter 6. In way of introduction, you know, once we get saved and once we meet God and once we take that opportunity and God answers our needs, God wants us to remember. The nation of Israel has been brought out of bondage out of Egypt. They've been taken across the Red Sea. They've been given water in the wilderness. They've been given manna. They've gone to the promised land and they looked inside of it and couldn't go in unbelief. And now they've been wandering around for 40 years. But see, God didn't want them to remember. He didn't want the nation of Israel to forget what God has done for them. He wanted them to understand that He is God. And folks, every one of us in here need to understand that He's God.
Amen.
And not to forget. So as they're in the wilderness about ready to go into the promised land, numerous times in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells Moses, tell people to do this certain thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, God wants the things that He does for us to be remembered. In Deuteronomy 4, 9, He says this, only take heed to thyself. It's an individual responsibility. I can't fix your family. Only you can fix your family through God. I can pray for you. But our service to God is our individual responsibility. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou what? Forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. See, we need to remember for ourselves. But see, we need to remember for our families also.
Yes.
Numerous times in Deuteronomy, we see this next phrase. He says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Parents, we need to talk about God to our children. We need to talk about God to our grandkids. That's what God wanted. He wanted His glory to be remembered. He wanted His power to be remembered. He wanted His deliverance to be remembered. And so, just like us, the Israelites obeyed, didn't they? Yeah. They failed to do this. So, from Deuteronomy, go to the next book is Joshua, and they go into the promised land, and they win these marvelous battles, but they don't do this. And see, there are consequences for not remembering God. There are consequences for not doing what God tells you to do. And they are negative consequences. If you go over a couple to Judges chapter 2, verses 7 to 10, you don't need to turn there. But they didn't obey this. Why are our churches in the way they are today? Because we forgot who God is.
Right.
Why is our country the way it is today? Because we forgot what the founding principles are.
That's right.
We didn't teach them. And in Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, it says, And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnathheres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the city of Goash. And then I've got this highlighted for a reason. And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. You know why? Because they didn't do it. Folks, what we do and we don't do has lasting implications in our families, in our country, in our church. which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And you know what happened? If you don't know God, you'll never go to him. If you don't know what his capabilities are, you'll never ask for them. If you don't understand what his power is, you'll never seek it. And they go off into idolatry. Folks, we are reaping the results of what we've not done.
That's right.
See, God wants the things he does to be remembered. There are negative consequences of failing to remember. There are negative consequences of not doing what God wants us to do. See, the bottom line is God wants to help us. God wants to fix us. God wants to bless us. We've been singing all these songs about blessings. There will be showers of blessings. But you know what? We need to be revived again. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8, may I do this because it'll lead into our message this morning. It says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. See, no matter what other people think, Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only one whereby you must be saved. And you know what? He wants to show his favor on us. And that's what in an acceptable thing. He wants to have an opportunity to show his favor and to show his blessing on us as a benevolent king. And he says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. God wants to deliver us every day. Just like the Mr. Softy truck came by, ding. Every day, God wants to deliver us. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. See, if you don't have God in your life, you're desolate this morning. Our country is desolate this morning because God's not present. Some churches this morning are desolate because God's not there. But God wants to help us. He wants us to follow him. See, here's what God really wants. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure. It's the acceptable time. Good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, Christ himself says, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. See, this morning's message is the time is now.
Amen.
The time is now. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Now I'm going to break up this passage in two pieces, which are major points. The first part is found in verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Some of us are trying to serve God out of vanity, out of worthlessness, not with his power. You forgot. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. For he saith, wonder if we read this before. Remember a couple of slides ago? For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
See, now is the time to be saved.
Right.
Now is the time to be saved. The thing is that we need to be saved without any doubt at all. See, there's a lot of people say there's all sorts of ways to get in heaven. But I'll tell you this. When I witness to someone, I share the plan of salvation with them. I start out with two questions. The first question I'll ask, and those who I've talked to before, you'll hear. Have you come to a point in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you die today, you go to heaven, or is that something you say you're still working on? See, there are people who say, you're still working on it, you're not going. That's not what my Bible talks about. You either know or you don't. It's not, I think so or not. And it tends to lead into some sort of ritual or some sort of works or something like that. But there are true people that think that that ritual will get them there. They firmly believe it. They are sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong.
That's right.
I've heard so many times, well, as long as you're sincere, God will take that into account. God doesn't give partial credit.
Right.
You're either on His side or you're not.
Right.
The second question kind of gets to the meat of the issue. Is it, I know I'm going to heaven. Second question is this. Suppose you were to die today and stand before God, and He would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? If you say, well, my good works are more than my bad works, wrong. Well, my parents are Christian, wrong. I'm a church member, wrong. I got baptized when I was a kid, wrong. Folks, now's the time. Now's the time to talk about truth and error.
Right.
There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The man Jesus. Acts told the Philippian jailer. He says, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's it. No other way. It's not getting a second blessing. It's not getting wet. It's not baptizing you for the dead. It's not going and getting prayed out of purgatory. It's not any of that. You have no doubt. This morning, if you have doubt about your eternity, once you die, where would you go? Now's the time to get that right. See, John writes a whole bunch of this. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, if you go through the book of 1 John, there's all these things about knowing. About knowing. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. You know in your heart if you have the Holy Spirit right now. You know in your heart if you've made that confessional prayer. You know in your heart if Christ was residing on the throne room of your heart. You know. First John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, these things have I written unto you. And when people say, no, I don't know for sure. Really? My Bible tells me this. These things have I written unto you that ye may what?
No.
These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Oh, by the way, His name is Jesus. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha.
Come on.
It's not others. One name. That ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, if you haven't done that, you need to get saved today. Now is the time to get saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. There's more. There's more. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. If you act like the world and you're lying in wickedness, 1 John says, the truth is not in you. Have no doubt. And don't deceive yourself anymore. There's no deception. We've been studying the book of Galatians on Wednesday night. And Galatians is about people who say they believe in Christ, but they say, hey, you got to go back and hold on to the Old Testament law in order to be saved and stay saved. They're called Judaizers. And Paul calls them out. And a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, we saw in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, says, and that because of what? False brethren. False brethren. They're brethren in what they say they are, but in reality, they are lying people. And that because a false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. See, if you don't know Christ, you don't know freedom. For who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're being deceived. No matter how sincere you are, you're being deceived. You're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. That song talked about that this morning. It's only one way. Only one way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 28. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know what God's will is for your life? That you accept his Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificial death on the cross, that you believe in him, you get saved that way. And then after that, you be conformed to his image by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. That's God's will for your life.
Amen.
It's not about having this house or having this car or having this job. It's about being like God. It's following him. That is the will of God. The will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Did we build all these houses? Did we help the poor? Did we do all these other things? That's good works. God's got to honor that. Nope. It doesn't happen that way. See, we do good works because we're going to heaven.
Right.
We don't do good works because we want to get there.
Right.
There's a difference there. There's a fundamental difference. And it's not about sacraments. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about simple, true faith in Christ alone. We sing that song, in Christ alone my hope is found. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Yeah? Satan wants to deceive you. Make you think, well, God helped me back in the past. And he helped me there. I got to be his child. No, it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime. It's an eternal commitment. Well, God, I prayed to God once. I was in the hospital. He got me out. He mustn't be my Savior. No! Did you ever confess your sins to him? Did you ever understand your need for salvation? If you've never done that, you need to today. Now is the time to be saved.
Amen.
No doubt. No deception. And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Doesn't matter. The issue is who do you believe in your heart?
Right.
Who do you believe in your heart? So now is the time to be saved. In our second part of this passage this morning, it says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not what? Blamed. So this is the way that we're supposed to act after we're saved. It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, riots, in laborers, in watching, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge. Does this sound like you? I hope it does. It's what we're supposed to be, ministers of Christ. Approve ourselves. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, unfettered! Can you love everybody? Even the ones that did you wrong? Christ said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
It's time to start living like that. See, because the issue is, now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to act saved. Now is the time to act saved. No distractions. No distractions. Oh, the world today. How many different things are going on in your life today? I mean, we could be scattered and stretched thin. I mean, anybody have kids in athletics in school know that one. I got to go to this practice. I got to go to this practice. I got to go do this. I got to do this. We know that, don't we? We're stretched all the way. And we don't have to. Christ says this, be still and know that I'm God. He says, get away. Get away. There should be no distractions. He talks about, in Matthew 13... of seed that's thrown in a thorny ground, and the thorns come up and choke out the word, those people will think they're saved, but they're not.
Right.
Because there's no change in their life. There's no fruit. Christ says that the evidence of someone being saved is that there's change in your life and fruit, exactly as Bethany's testimony said. In Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62, we see an example. It says, big crowd. I'll follow you, God. Let me follow you. But see, don't we come up with so many excuses why we can say, no, not, now's not the time. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. His father wasn't dead. Let me get my life in order. Let my dad pass on into eternity. And once all that happens, then I'll serve you. No, God wants us to make a decision to now. Now is the acceptance. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I want you to do this now. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Let me go home and get all my house in order, and let me tell everybody goodbye, and all the things that I'm going to leave behind, and I'm going to go on my mission trip, and I'm going to deprive myself of all these things. And the Bible tells me this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And Christ said, nope. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back or get distracted is what? Fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, Christ says this, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. All these other things. Look at everything as a thing from God. See, don't be distracted. Even the little things get God. And we can praise God for that.
Right.
I want to tell a story. Yesterday we had men's prayer breakfast. To tell your story, Ricky. Okay? Because I was involved in it too. So, talk about this prayer breakfast. Ricky wanted to go to the prayer breakfast. He says, I've already made this commitment to go work for this guy and haul these chillers out for these guys here. And so I can't make it. So I said, well, why don't we just pray he changes it? And so they were in the parking lot, restaurant, and we prayed. He said, Lord, change this. And after supper, the boss told the guy who was doing the whole thing, texted him and said, Would it be okay if we move this to Friday? Folks, that's how my God works.
Amen.
That's how God works.
Amen.
See, He wants us to glorify Him. And then Ricky got a tremendous opportunity. He said, you're not going to believe this, but this is what happened. And then he got an opportunity to witness about why it was on Friday and not on Saturday. And see, we don't take this, we don't forget. What was the first thing in Deuteronomy? Teach them to their sons and to your sons' sons, and don't forget these things. Keep it with all diligence. The little things. Well, don't be distracted. Pray to God today to remove the distractions in you. You know what's going on. And I guarantee you there's a whole bunch going on in our lives. Pray for focus in your life. Pray for focus. Now's the time to act saved and have no distraction. Now's the time to act saved and have no disappointment. No disappointment in yourself and no disappointment in God from God's perspective on us. See, we're His ministers. Wait a second. Didn't we see that in 2 Corinthians 6 about that we are approved as ministers of Him? That we don't do the grace of God in vain? In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 and 43 to 46, Christ starts off this, He says, by their fruits you know them, but He says, goes on, He says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. If you've got problems in your life, and all you do is bring forth sin, then something's not right. Something's not right. Well, I'm thinking good things. Really? If all you do is bad, you can't get bad things out of good thoughts. It doesn't work that way. You get bad things out of bad thoughts. That's what the Bible tells me. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and here's the key. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, it's just a little sin. It doesn't matter, it's sin. We're not supposed to presumptuously sin, even the little things.
Right.
See, to act saved, you have to be saved. And to act saved, you put God first. To act saved, you're going to listen to who the Master is. That's why we call Him the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12, verses 42-43, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So Christ is asking a question here. I said, who is that faithful servant? He says, who out here? Actually, who can I trust?
Right.
Who can I trust? Can God trust you this morning? Can God trust you with ministry this morning? Can God trust you with what He's asking you to do this morning? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he what? Cometh, shall find so doing.
Amen.
See, every day is an opportunity to serve God or serve ourselves. We have to make a choice. See, now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to act saved. Now is the time to decide. Now is the time to decide. Oh, I have all the time in the world to tell my kids about what happened in the wilderness. They didn't take the time, and look what happened. I have all the time in the world to tell my grandkids, boy, I'll be retired, and boy, I'll get this. Anybody who's distracted Put a hand to plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. I have all the time in the world. No, you don't. We only have today. I can guarantee you what's happening today. I can't even guarantee you what's going to happen next minute. A meteor might come down here and crush us all.
Right. Never know.
Never know. Okay? But see, Christ told his disciples 2,000 years ago, he says, you be ready for me coming back right now. Christ tells his disciples 2,000 years later, let's be ready for me right now. These are the last days. I do know this. Christ is coming back and we're one day closer.
Right.
Where's the promises coming? In God's word.
Amen.
Romans chapter 13 verse 11 says this, and that knowing the time. See, we should know the time, folks. If I haven't motivated you to work this morning, I failed. The whole issue is we need to work for Jesus. We sing the song, we'll work till Jesus comes. Do we really mean it? And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. See, sleeping means you won't hear the bell of Mr. Softy. I missed it today! I can't go back! I can't get... Sleeping misses the opportunity God's given us today to serve Him. And you can't go back. You can ask for forgiveness, but that is an opportunity lost.
Right.
Wake up, sleep, for now our salvation, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Amen.
See, salvation is, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. Salvation is also, when Christ comes back, He's going to redeem me and change me, and I'm in heaven with Him, like Him. Time's running out. Now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to act saved. Now is the time to decide. Now is the time to decide because it's a personal responsibility. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, take diligence to yourself. Take diligence to your spirit and everything else. It's what we do as individuals. And folks, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. A church is only as strong as its weakest member. We all need to be on the same page. We all need to be faithful. We all need to live in faith. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Can that be said of you? Do we always obey? I know I haven't. And I know we all haven't. Okay? Not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me put this clearly. This is not working for your salvation. This is working because you are saved.
Amen.
Right.
This is working because you are saved. Work out your what? Your own salvation. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Right.
Okay? Every one of us has a personal responsibility to serve God. If we don't do our part, then the body suffers.
Right.
Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling out of respect for God. So this morning, now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to act saved. Now is the time to decide, what are you going to do? What will you do right now? Say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Then you need to get saved.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. We do wrong. We're sinners. Because we're sinners, we can't get to heaven. We can't get to His glory. And Christ loved us. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. To live a perfect life. To take our sins on Him on the cross. You need to understand that Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried, and the third day He rose again. You need to cry out to Him in a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get to heaven on my own. I know that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried and that you rose again. Lord, forgive me my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I want you to come into my life and save me. And give me the promise of heaven as you offer as a free gift. Something along that line is a salvation prayer. Doesn't have to be those exact words, but it has to have that in there. You're a sinner, you're not getting anywhere. You're going the wrong way. Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried and rose again. Because now He has power to forgive your sins and power over death, which is your sin. And He offers that free gift. Oh, please do it today. And then when you do that, and you're here today, come forward and tell everybody else that you just did that. Folks, for us that are saved, are we acting saved? Are we the ministers that we need to be? The altars are open this morning to basically, let's get back on right standing with God. Don't leave here today without being on right standing with God. Will you decide now? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for you this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to surrender our all to you. Lord, help us to, if there's anyone here who does not know you, Lord, as Savior, Lord, today I pray that they would pray that prayer. And Lord, from this point forward, follow you. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to renew our commitment to you, Lord, and to walk in your grace. That's not in vain. That it would change our lives, that we would act the way we're supposed to act. Lord, fill your place with your Spirit. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.